Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
We're here and it is 6666. Oh, 6-6. It's a nice day.
Yeah, 6-6-17.
Right, 6-6-17.
Yep. How was your weekend, your week?
It was nice and warm in California here in the Northern California. It's sunny and it's cool. And the sun sets at like midnight or something.
Oh, very nice. Well, let me give you a quick market update of what's going on right now. Hopefully you can hear me well. But we do know there was a major setback a couple of weeks back. Markets snapped back, starting to cool off a little bit. Concerned maybe about the upcoming Comey testimony, which is already being calmed down in that, well, he's not going to talk about possibly obstruction of justice and all that. During the summer months, we know that volume often is subdued. And this is, the big excitement right now is everybody shifting over to, we have to bring this up, the whole cryptocurrency space. As Bitcoin is taking the headlines. You know.
Yeah. Before you go on, I do want to mention something.
Yeah.
And I find the news media to be disingenuous because everybody that's writing about all this Comey stuff knows for a fact that if there was ever any obstruction of justice, Comey has to report it immediately or he is a felon.
Yeah. Right. So if he does say that there was an obstruction of justice, he's pretty much hanging himself.
Yes.
Because he should have said it up front and further. But actually, yeah, and especially because now he's a private citizen.
Right.
Could be even worse. But did you know, I was looking at something and I was kind of a little bit surprised about this, but did you know there was like, let me ask you this question. How many cryptocurrencies do you think there are that are kind of like traded and maybe some that are not, but in general, how many cryptocurrencies are out there?
I think there's about 20.
700.
How many?
700. 700, I think it's 790.
It's outrageous.
I was looking down a list. There was some ridiculous number of these cryptocurrencies, things I've never even heard about before. And now I'm starting to see people talk about it in places that they shouldn't be talking about it. You know, at parties and things like that. Everybody, oh, did you get this one, this SI coin bit thing and this other one and this other? I'm like, wait, what is that? Anyway,
I'm going to say that this sounds like the opportunity for a fantastic pump and dump scheme.
The problem is there's no, well, we'll talk about that when we get to the stock picks, but there's no really good way to short this thing.
Yeah.
Now, I did approach about 3,000. I did put a chart over on DH Unplugged under the show notes. You can always find the information that we talk about on the show after the show is published on Tuesday evenings. And there's a chart there under episode number 364. And you can see how Bitcoin pretty much went parabolic in May. Kind of went almost to 3,000. Then it was, there was a slight hiccup tonight when Mark Cuban tweeted that Bitcoin is in a bubble. And the price dropped like, I don't know, $100 or something like that, and then popped back. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But it is fascinating now that there is all this chatter and all this discussion about these things, and now they're getting into. I was at a party the other night, and a young gentleman was talking about it. He says, did you see that? It was SI something or other. He says, I bought it for a half a cent. It's at 2 cents now. I'm like, well, that's pretty good. I mean, that's a nice little return right there, right?
Yeah, sell.
Yeah, exactly. But the funny thing is that the whole idea of this, and I keep getting back to this, the whole idea of the way these were designed to be a anonymous source of money transfer or at least, you know, some kind of currency has pretty much gone right out the window, it seems. Now it's all about the investing in this thing and making a ton of money on it.
Yeah, it's a speculative vehicle is what it amounts to.
Yeah. A couple of housing indicators are coming in soft, and the latest job numbers we saw from last week were mixed. Unemployment rate now is 4.3%. There was expectations of about 180,000 new jobs being added. Only 138,000 were actually added. Revisions in April reduced the headcount by 34,000 and March by 30,000.
Wow.
So the jobs numbers that we saw that have been good, can't complain about that. Can't complain about a 4.3% unemployment rate. But at the same time, you have to wonder maybe things aren't as strong as they anticipated. But markets didn't care. They were down a little bit on the number. Bonds were perfectly aligned to the number. We saw the 10-year hit 2.14 today, 2.14. And gold is ramping higher. But the markets are just kind of just hanging in there. A little bit down here, a little bit down there, but generally doing very well. Now, even though this is, I thought this was pretty interesting. Even though some of the housing indicators are coming in soft, it seems that Americans are spending on residential construction projects at an incredibly, incredibly fast pace. From the foundations to fixing it up to home improvements, we just blew past the strongest three-month period of growth in that area since 1994.
Mm.
And what was also interesting is that when who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking, a guy came to measure some blinds at my house. And he said, I don't know what's going on. For the last 6 months, I'm not getting any like new orders. All I'm getting is repair orders. And I said, well, maybe I shouldn't be buying blinds from you because they break all the time, obviously. But what do you think that's about?
Well, what's he talking about? Aren't you buying new blinds?
I'm buying new blinds. But what I'm saying is that...
No, I know what you're saying. I mean, it seems to me that somebody coming in and installing new blinds wouldn't be bitching about that nobody installs new blinds when he's installing them. But I know what you mean. I'm getting my roof repaired and fixed. I'm getting a new roof. This is a good example. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Was it like 50 grand?
No, it's not that much.
Oh. What, it's like 12. You have those scant 12? That's it for... Oh, you don't have the roofs like we have here. What do you have, like a tar roof?
I don't have a tar roof.
What do you have? I'm, concrete?
What are you living in the sticks? I mean, no, I have a shingle roof. But it's a tall house where the roof is not like, it's not a monstrous roof.
Right, but you don't have to have those. A lot of times here we have to have that resists major heat. And we have to have those like Spanish tiles.
No.
Yeah, those get expensive. We had the scam going on for a while where the guy would come around and say, especially after hurricanes, you know, can we check your roof out? Because if there are any specific, any kind of damage at all or leaks, we'll repair your whole roof and you'll probably put it into insurance and they'll give you like 50, 60 grand and we'll give you back 12 and we'll keep the rest. I'm thinking, what? And everybody was doing it. I'm like, I'm not doing it. That's insurance fraud.
Yes, totally.
Right?
Huh. They should have turned him in.
Yeah, I should have. It's not the kind of guy I am. Live and let live, but I was not getting involved in that at all. Now, with the economy and the jobs numbers at 4.3%, which is a good number. We agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. With, 150,000 or 35,000 jobs being added on a regular base, million or so added over the last year, so far so good. Manufacturing numbers are good. Well, here's what's really interesting. A recent Fed speaker came out, Harker, I think he's from Philadelphia. He said, this is what he said. The U.S. economy is now normal.
And bull.
Right? He said normal.
That's what he said.
Okay, but this is what he said. Okay? Whether or not that's true or not, let's just follow along what he said. So he said the new is now normal. And the labor market roughly is at full health, which supports two more interest rate hikes this year. He said things are looking good. We're essentially at a normal now, and I continue to see two more hikes as appropriate this year. We're looking at a labor market more or less at full health with very little slack, okay? And he's a voting member. Plus, he said that the Fed, in his opinion, is going to slowly unwind the Fed's balance sheet. Now, here's some questions I have for you. If we're at a normal economy, we're at full health in terms of the market and labor markets and the employment situation, why the hell are rates at recessionary or emergency levels? And if we, and by the way, if we raise twice this year, doesn't that mean that we're going to be at like 1.5%, which is still nowhere near a reasonable number in terms of anything that you would expect to have.
Yes, I would expect that number to be 3 to 4%.
So what's going on? Back to the same old, they're just not able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have a $4 trillion.
They're lying to us. That's what they're doing.
They're lying that, so they're lying saying everything is normal, but it's not. Something they're lying about. Because unless they're just so concerned about the markets, which we know they focus on, you know, all the time. They're not really supposed to, but they do. And they have a $4 trillion balance sheet that they're going to unwind slowly. How long does it take to unwind a $4 trillion balance sheet of bonds? 10 years?
I would say 10 years.
10 years. In other words, for another 10 years, we're going to be still in the emergency mode of the Fed. Yeesh.
Well, I don't know. It's every one of these anomalies, every one of these market things, anything that results in eventual crash, every time it happens, year after, you know, decade after decade, whenever, it's, they're always a little bit different. They're so different that you can't really kind of figure out how things are going to go.
Until 5 years later.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, that would
reverse engineer it.
Right. But 5 years later, you're like, yeah, that made sense.
Yeah.
So, all right, what else we got? Okay, an update on some of the government's goings-ons. This is where we start getting people crazy because, they're talking about politics. But we're not going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about some facts. The White House is hoping to kickstart its stalled legislative agenda with congressional action on health care reform this summer that will clear the way for lawmakers to begin the work on their major tax bill after the September 4th Labor Day holiday. This is coming from the administration.
Good. I have a question for you then.
Yes.
The question is, why didn't they do the tax thing first?
There's some policy related to the requirement to do the health care, to save the money, to put it into the budget in order to... There's some kind of legislative requirement for this. I don't know where this came from. I don't know who put it into play. But there's something about that the healthcare needs to be done first.
Yeah. In other words, you don't know either.
No, but that's what they're saying. That there is, even Trump said that they have to do the healthcare first.
Yeah, but why?
Well, I mean, from a procedural standpoint, they have if they do the tax if they do the taxes first, they're going to go into a massive hole financially. That's like spending first, you know, working later. Because the tax are going to save, what is it, like $800 billion? I mean, the healthcare is going to save like $800 billion, supposedly. And that's going to be the money that can fund the tax.
Oh, cuts. I see. Okay. That's what the logic is. Right. That's probably exactly it. They figured the healthcare changes will fund the tax scam. Oh, great. Okay, good.
And by the way, so if we save $800 billion because from the healthcare, which is because we're insuring less people and less people on the rolls, all that. How is that a better healthcare plan? Just wondering.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I'm not saying this healthcare plan is the best by any means. Athena Health pulled out of Ohio. There's like nobody left there. There's definitely a problem with the current plan across the board. Meanwhile, it's not that much of a problem stopping some of these companies from being at all-time highs.
Yeah, there you go. There's your, there's the gotcha.
Yeah. So, somebody's making some scratch. So obviously they're stealing it from somebody, but this is going to be, so here's what the point is of this. So if they're going to try to get the health care, if they're going to try the Senate plan that they're, you know, chopping up and spitting back and trying to cobble something together for healthcare, if they're going to put that together and hopefully get that before the summer break and then come back and do the taxes after the break, sometime in October, I think we agree that probability is, if it goes extremely smooth, just a walk in the park where you get the tax cuts done and everything is just happy, pappy in October magically. Do you think it's going to be retroactive for 2017?
I don't think they can afford that.
I don't think so either, right? I don't think that, I guess the point also is if they have to do the healthcare first and they have to get the savings starting to roll in, they can't go retroactive if you think about it, because they won't have the savings right from the healthcare.
Right.
So therefore, we're pushed out into 2018 at least, something that everybody thought was going to happen in 2017, part of the reason the markets were flying high. So just think about that. Something to think about. Did you pay attention to the Apple's WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference?
Yeah, I looked at it. I paid a little attention. I didn't see anything there that interested me that much. I thought the, I don't know, I don't care about the iPad, and that seems to be one of the big emphasis.
Their product that is consistently selling fewer and fewer each period. They're trying to overhaul it.
I'm looking, when I see an event like this, I'm looking for something new and jazzy that shakes things up. I didn't see anything like that.
So the new, the iMac Pro priced at $5,000 is not going to be exciting.
It's a little pricey for my taste.
They're trying to keep up with the Surface Pro, which obviously they stole the same name from. You didn't think that the Apple Store apps that has paid out $70 billion to developers was cool?
I find that hard to believe.
Really? Why?
$70 billion?
Yeah, in the past, how many years? 5 years?
Still.
That's a whole country's GDP.
I'd say.
Right.
For app developers.
Right.
We're talking about apps like the beer drinking app where you hold a beer. It looks like a beer. Excuse me, on the screen. And then you pour it.
Oh.
And it probably made a billion.
Yeah, could have. Let's see. What else. Apple Pay will feature person-to-person payments, kind of like it's going to be integrated with iMessage. So everybody's getting into your pockets these days. There's going to be a redesign of the App Store. Apple introduces new iMac products. The display will display a billion colors. How many colors? How do you get to a billion? Isn't there just like RGB? I mean, is there any other colors?
The color gamut. I don't know what the full color gamut is, but I think it's more than a billion.
Mm. The Apple.
I mean, you can't see after a point. You
right.
know, you can't notice. You can't see the difference between the two blues. You know, at 100 million and 100 million plus one, but they're there.
Did you and I, and most people can't see the difference between that kind of color, right? You ever work with designers for webs or for, you know, for any kind of publication or whatever, and you get a people like, you know, here's a.
The wrong like, blue.
It's the wrong
That's
blue.
That's the wrong blue.
and you can, things can be held up for months on the color.
Yeah.
It's like, what's wrong? It's just not right. Just not right. Well, what's wrong with it? It just doesn't have that pop. I need to change it. I'm like, they change it. I don't see any difference. I don't see any difference. I'm putting it next to each other. I don't see a difference. But no. That font. Oh, that font. I don't like how it has that little curl on the end. We got to change the whole site.
Fonts are ugly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You mean we don't use, what is that, Garamond Block?
No, it wouldn't be. No, there's no such thing as Garamond Block.
Oh, well, there you go.
But there are fonts that people shy away from. Souvenir would be a good example.
Courier nobody uses anymore. It dates you, unless you're some kind of a special hipster site.
Even there.
Yeah. You're going to have additional USB ports in the iMac. You're going to have the Intel 7th generation core processor, an AMD graphics processor. Here's something interesting. There's also the new version of the iOS 11 is coming out, which is going to have a button or a choice or something where it won't allow texting, I believe, incoming or outgoing texting if the motion detector is after a certain speed.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And that's a logical thing you can do. All these devices have a little motion detector in them.
Yeah. It's easy enough, right?
Yeah, it's really easy.
The problem is that
in fact, GPS systems, they know if you're in an airplane, and they many of them will not work while you're flying around.
But is it just going to be iMessage in the Apple iPhone? What about if you get a Snapchat, or what happens if you get a WeChat, or what happens if you get a Twitter alert? Is everything going to be shut down? Is it like not in airplane? So it's not going to be like airplane mode, but there'll be another little symbol like a car. You flip that on, so when you're driving. So if you have the ability and desire not to get texts or to text when you are driving, why not just put your phone away? Right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't get it. You're going to have to do. And if you feel so compelled that you have to text, and the only way to do this is to push that button, why? What would stop you from just going and pushing that button and turning it off?
Well, it shouldn't be an option. The phone itself should have it. By law, I guess you're going to have to pass a law. The phone should disable all those functions while moving.
Yeah, I would agree. After a certain period of time. But here comes the problem. So let's say that is the case. You're sitting in the back seat of a car. You can't do your thing. You're sitting on a bus, a train. See the problem?
Yes. In fact, right. Now that you mentioned, in fact, we had this situation recently. I was driving around, and there's a GPS in this car, and it won't work when you're moving. And I've got a passenger in there trying to do stuff on it. It's got nothing to do with me, but it won't. It kills itself. No. You're moving. You're in movement. You're movement. You can't do anything.
Yeah, that's stupid. And the other thing that the iWatch is coming out as well. One thing that I was very surprised about was that Amazon. And I don't know if it's going to be their Amazon Video or it's going to be the Amazon app. That's interesting. We'll be coming to the Apple TV app. Do you think they're not going to allow Amazon Video on there, are they?
Well, everybody else does. I mean, I have my Roku box allows Amazon videos and number of televisions have it built in where you can get Amazon Video. So why is Apple TV going to be snubbed them? It doesn't make sense.
Well, your TV has it because it's a direct link into, I don't know if the TV company makes any money on that besides the placement, but, well, maybe they do, but Amazon, Apple won't want to do that because Apple has their own videos and their whole, you know, their own, on demand. Why would they want to put Amazon Video on there?
Because let's say I buy an Apple TV and I've got an Amazon Prime and I want to get some videos from it and I can't go through my Apple TV. I have to buy another box.
You can buy a Fire Stick. You could use your smart TV. I mean, right now I use smart TV for most
stuff. TVs.
Why wouldn't a smart TV then just have Apple TV on it? Why? What's the need for this other thing?
Then you're violating your own logic is out the window.
No, I'm just asking you.
Why would Apple put Apple TV on a smart TV in competition with everything else that could be on there, competing with them?
I don't know. It just seems like it's competition, which they wouldn't want, but I don't know. What do I know? Amazon's also doing some other things. Here's something interesting. I think you're going to like this one. This is the new, I'm going to read this news clip here for you. Amazon has announced in its latest initiative to shoehorn more customers into its Prime subscription program, discounts for people on government assistance programs. Eligible customers are asked to enter their EBT number, which is their, they call it EBT now. You can't call it, politically correct. You can't say food stamps, right? So it's EBT number during their Prime sign-up process. And the EB card itself is only used to confirm a person's eligibility. The card cannot be used to pay for Prime membership itself. So why not just get somebody with EBT card? Just, you know, can't we, I guess maybe they can only get one membership, I suppose.
Well, let's take the logic here. A person with an EBT card probably isn't buying like crazy on Amazon and using Amazon Prime to save on shipping.
Yeah.
So you should be able to borrow their number and use it.
Yeah, I would think so. But the problem is you'd have to probably sign up for a new account. And once the EBT number is used, it probably can't be used for another Prime sign up. So you just have to be on like the friends and families of that person.
I guess.
This is getting a little bit far afield.
It's crazy. They shouldn't even, what's the point? I thought they were losing money on Prime, and now they're doing this?
If they want to just get more people in there, no matter how much money they don't have to spend. Now, not to be outdone, Walmart now is doing a new little tricky thing. And they call this a tactic to fight against the online giant Amazon. It's enlisting, I don't know if you read this, but enlisting its employees to deliver online orders on the way home from work. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
So the idea is that they're looking to cut the cost on the last mile of deliveries, which, by the way, you have to wonder if Amazon is doing their best, because one of their most costly parts of the process is shipping, which leads you right to the Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS, plus a number of other last of the mile deals, right? But
right.
You have to wonder if Amazon and Walmart are doing all these kinds of programs to try to save some money on their on their shipping. How is FedEx going to continue getting these kinds of numbers from Amazon and from other parties that are doing deliveries? Don't you think there's going to be some kind of a price war? And maybe, you know, Amazon's coming out with their new planes. They have same day delivery. They're testing Uber in different driving, deliveries. You got to wonder, you know, if FedEx is going to start really losing some money to this.
I wonder what FedEx actually charges them. I think part of the reason FedEx is so expensive to you and me when you go there to do an overnight anything, it's ridiculously expensive. I don't want to even use them anymore. I think they're really already doing heavy discounting.
And you think we're subsidizing?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I was going to send I told you this before. I was going to send a letter just last week somewhere. It was like $30 for like a 2-day delivery. Yeah,
$25 last time I looked.
Right. That's like a third of the cost of a one-way ticket to New York.
It used to be $8.
Yeah, I remember those days. $8 to $12, you didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Now it's crazy. So the Walmart idea is to cut costs on this last mile deliveries when packages are driven to customers' homes, often as the most expensive part of the fulfillment process. You know, the problem, by the way, you have here also is, don't you think there's some kind of bonding or insurance or some kind of liability issues involved with delivering packages?
I can just imagine the guy coming up to the door. Let's just say he's a big fat guy. Wearing his Walmart, little outfit there. It's like a bib or whatever it is, and delivering the package. I would find that to be distressing.
You have a very bad opinion of Walmart workers. Let's just get that straight. They're fat, and they have these bibs that don't fit, and they're all filthy.
I never said they don't fit and they're filthy. You said that.
I'm just getting this image from the way that you were projecting it. All right, so we have, all right, so on the other hand, what happens, I'll give you a different one. What happens if a hottie shows up? And then
a hottie from Walmart. I'm not thinking that's happening.
Well, what if? A hottie shows up and then, I said, oh, no, can you bring it over here into the house?
Bring it in.
Yeah, bring it on in. No, but seriously, I mean, this is kind of, there must be, if I'm shipping things and I'm expecting a delivery, I'm not expecting, next they're going to have Domino's drivers doubling up. Stop by the Walmart, bring the, hey, 2-for-1 special. Buy a cordless toothbrush and get a Domino's pizza for free.
Or Walmart could do, get these guys to kind of double dip and order a bunch of pizzas. When the pizza guy drops them off, now he's in no rush to get back because there's no time limit. They say, well, you're going back on your way back. We're going to give you some money. Deliver these packages. You know how to deliver stuff.
This is kind of crazy. I don't know. This is going to be a voluntary program and offer overtime pay as necessary to make the deliveries. And, I don't know. I mean, it would seem a delivery. I mean, how do they clock this? Is that now, are you going to have to, as a driver, will you have to have different insurance because now you're doing a business with your car? There's just so many questions with this.
There is an insurance issue, yes.
You're right. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep going here. Let's see here. Okay. I don't know if we have a sound effect for this, but there's a new entrant into $1,000 per share club.
Yeah.
And it's now Google. First, we had Apple, which on a pre-split basis, but we'll include them. Amazon, and now Google.
Good.
Over 1,000. Who's next?
What does Hathaway go for? What is the price? Berkshire Hathaway. What's the share price?
24.
Look it up. You got to get the thing right there.
BRK.A, I think it is. No, that's not good. Here we go. Here. I think it's BRK. Here we go. It's currently trading 249,000.
249,000?
Yeah. That's the A share.
Yeah. It used to be 16,000 a share.
The B share is 166.
All right.
249,000.
Yeah. Well,
market cap 410 billion.
It minimizes volatility.
Yeah. Was the institutional only 24%?
This is the new thing. Maybe everyone's just going to say, "Look what these guys have been doing just fine, yeah, without all the splits." Is at $250,000 a share. Let's just do the same thing.
Yeah. And the thing is that we used to have all these stock splits going on. Companies would love the stock splits, just love them. Now that's just not happening. It's kind of like more of a right, you know, oh, you own that stock? Wow, that's a high-priced stock. That's pretty impressive. Because it used to be, people were under the impression that when you had a stock that was $500 a share or, you know, $250 a share, oh, that's expensive. But now it's not that so much anymore. And also, there was the idea that companies would say, well, if the stock's $500 a share, well, we can't get that many more people into it. But maybe they also want this because it limits the trading. You have a stock that's $5 a share, people could be picking that stuff up and selling it all day long.
Yep.
You have this, you know, if you want to trade $10,000 worth of this, it's like 10 shares. And you're thinking, where am I going to get with that?
Yeah. No action. It's no action.
One of my favorite companies, you know, Herbalife. On very, you just got to wonder about these companies. On Sunday, they come out with an announcement about lowering their sales outlook. I can't remember a company coming out with their outlook mid-season, you know, between earnings announcements on a Sunday. We call this burying, by the way. You know, they're trying to bury it so that nobody sees it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they find some kind of, you know, bury it right between a bombing and a tornado.
And a basketball game.
Right, just right in there. Just shove it right in there. It says it's going to be lowering their sales outlook for the current quarter before the markets opened this week. And they expect revenues to be at least 1.5% lower than their earlier estimates. There was a bad quarter last quarter. Meanwhile, the stock was almost at an all-time high again. The company said the transition to the new FTC, the Federal Trade Commission rules, along with softness in Mexico, everybody's blaming Mexico for something, was to blame for the lower numbers. Stock was down 7%. Meanwhile, they also said that they're reaffirming their earnings. So I don't know how you reaffirm your earnings, your estimates. You're shoving this in on a Sunday. You're calling for your revenues to be lower because you're transitioning to this new FTC. This company is quite the manipulator of information.
I'd say, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that time of the show where we tell you that if you want to follow, and not that if you want to follow, you should be following. You should be, for the wittiness and just the clever little snippets that he puts out on Twitter. That's John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, is one word, Andrew Horowitz. Just put it together with a little ampersand in front of it. And that's my Twitter handle. And of course, it's that time of the show that we also talk about the donation requirement for listening. So everybody that's in the chat room right now, please go over and check out what's going on with that little donation button. Because I got emails about this that, yes, in fact, when we talked about last week, where when you actually click the button, there is a transmission of just good feeling and warmth that comes with it. So Did I say that? By the way, somebody in the chat room is correcting me. It's not an ampersand. It's the at sign. What is that called?
It's an at sign.
Yeah, it's not. Did I say ampersand?
Which it's is the, called the at sign.
Yeah, it's not the ampersand is the
ampersand's the and
sign.
It
means yes,
and.
And the hashtag, which used to be called the pound sign.
Right. Well, you can still call it pound sign.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Before we get to the close of the pin, there's been a couple of people asking us to talk about this whole thing that's going on with Qatar. Not to be confused with guitar.
Or cutter. Which
cutter.
Is another way of pronouncing
it. Yep. Cutter. It's one of the only words, one of the few that, first of all, can't be used in Scrabble. And it could be great because it's a Q that is not followed by U.
Ah.
There's only a few of those words in Scrabble that you can use, like QA, and there's only a few of them. But I'm sure that you're pretty much up on this due to your dealings with Curry on the No Agenda show, by the way, which you could listen to every Thursday and Sunday live, and of course, in podcast format as well afterwards when it's... And by the way, I told you this. I listened to it today. I was listening to it this morning as I work out. I listened to it. It gives me... it angers me so much that it makes me work out harder. But are you up on this whole thing? What's going on with Qatar? Cutter?
We have not figured out what the basis is, but this looks like a long term thing. Qatar supposedly is financing ISIS, and as if Saudi Arabia is not. But Qatar's had a long, long, long dispute with its neighbors, especially Bahrain, which is right next door. And it seems to be, if you look at the history of Qatar, you can kind of see that it's sketchy, and it has something to do with the British and the Cold War and some other things. I don't know what the point of this is, but I'm not expecting it to, although Curry might be, I'm not expecting this to result in much more than just a lot of bickering.
But you know, it's funny because these are countries that are so set for life. You could encapsulate the country in a bubble. They have so much wealth and so much there, except for maybe certain the climate and all that. But aside from that, you know, they have so much, and they really want for so little. And they've for whatever reason found themselves, this little bitty country, found themselves in the crosshairs of their, the greatest allies, because they've been funding, at least they're being pointed to, unless maybe it's just because they are such a small country, and why not point to the smallest little guy? Do they have an army?
I don't know. They must have some sort of a force to do border patrols. So probably a small army.
Yeah, small army, and probably somebody that's not going to fight back very much. And somebody that you can pass the blame, and who's going to really care anymore? Anyway, it's not like there's, you know, anything important besides oil that comes out of Qatar that I'm aware of.
Well, and Al Jazeera comes out of Qatar.
Okay. Well, maybe that's where the target is. Who knows? But
it might be.
But what's interesting was that oil actually dropped on that news. I thought oil would have actually gone up a little bit as the gang is starting to, you know, start bickering and getting concerned with what's going on with each other. But however, now they're starting to say, well, maybe the opposite is true. Maybe all of a sudden OPEC is going to have issues with each other, and everybody's going to use this as an excuse to say, screw the production limits.
That may actually explain what happened. I never even thought of that, but that's the only logic there is.
Yeah. Screw the production. You know, you're going to act like this. You're going to cause, you know what? And then Iran says, you know what? You know what? If he's not going to hold out, you know, I'm not going to play by the rules either.
Yeah.
And then nobody's.
Yeah, that would drop the price. If the price dropped, it dropped.
Yeah. It's at 47 and change.
Yeah. Something like that.
48.03 as we speak. So a reminder, the DH Unplugged Close to the Pin competition, the contest of all contests that is going on right now is on Bitcoin. I believe that all entries are in, and we will find out in a couple of weeks the winner. But we do have a winner for the closest to the pin for the VIX, and the winner was PJ. He guessed 993. The actual price was 975. He was the closest out of a bunch of people.
Jeez.
A lot of good, it was pretty good for the VIX. You were about 17.95% off. I was 20% off. This could have been our greatest differential from the actual for you and I.
Who expected it to be at 975?
On the close, right?
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So, and I think it was about 1050 today where it closed. Still very low. So PJ is going to win a one-of-a-kind and a very special shirt. PJ's out of the country, but we worked it out that we're sending it to some friends and family in New York because, to be honest with you, sending it out of the country was like sending an overnight package to New York. It was like $35 to, I think it was Ireland. We have a lot
sending,
of Ireland.
I don't understand why it's so expensive, but sending stuff out of the country is extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm. Seems like we have a pretty good audience in Ireland.
Oh, well, that's nice.
That's very nice.
Bring some Irish tea back.
Mm-hmm. So we had our, this is pretty good. We had, this is interesting. Last week we talked about the whole tax refund issue or tax return.
Right.
And
yeah, you're hung up on this.
I'm not hung up on this. How dare you?
It's like one of those many things, that and the shoes at the airport.
Well, that I have a problem with, but I got that card now and I don't have to do it. I don't have to deal with that at all.
Ah.
You know, it's interesting. When I travel, you know, I'm a cigar smoker. So when I travel, I usually am pretty careful about taking out my lighters because I use those torch lighters, those butane torch lighters for my cigar. Yeah. And I usually take them out because they're not too pleased going through the x-ray check with that. So, but there's been a couple of times that I forgot and they take them from you, whatever. Okay, fine. I've learned not to buy the expensive ones anymore.
So they've confiscated your cigarette lighter?
Cigar lighter. Yeah, the big butane one. You know, it's like a torch. So, but you could take the little Bic lighters. They don't care about those. So the last time I went to New York a couple of weeks ago, I made it through the x-rays. Not a problem because I forgot I had it on me. They didn't even take it from me. Meanwhile, I can go to certain countries. They don't care. Other countries, if you have like a match, they're like, nope, can't go. No good. I don't know. There needs to be some kind of better. I mean, what bothers me is that they let the torch go, which was in a carry-on bag. And I was a little bit disturbed because I'm thinking, what else are they allowing to get through on my plane? Yeah, just saying.
Well, I should mention some cigar etiquette in the first place.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is lost on most cigar smokers today. But traditionally, you don't need that big torch and you shouldn't use it. It exudes gas that goes into the cigar and kind of ruins it. You're supposed to light a cigar with a cedar splint.
A splint, yes.
That usually are the spacers in the cigar box itself. When you open a cigar box, there's a bunch of cigars, and under those cigars is a very thin cedar veneer. It's just like made out of cedar, and then there's another layer of cigars. That piece of cedar is supposed to be broken into strips, and then those strips are lit with one of the smaller, with whatever you have for lighting, that gets lit, and then you use that to light the cigar, and now you're following the tradition that goes back forever.
I shall try that. I guess I'm just a.
No, you're like everybody else. You're not anything special.
Well, at least I don't use.
But the cedar splint, you should. I would recommend you go that route because the burnt cedar and then the cigar, especially Cuban cigars, matches very well.
I would, at least I don't use a Zippo. Those things are awful.
Ching, with the juice in it.
Oh, it stinks. It's just terrible. You inhale that stuff, not that you inhale, you can get it in your mouth. It's disgusting. Anyway, we had a listener that wrote in about the whole idea. He said, the extra money that the government sometimes allows you to have back after filing your taxes is actually called a tax refund, not a tax return. Tax return only refers to the forms that you file with the IRS. However, all I was saying was a lot of people refer to it as their tax return.
Ah, yeah.
I think it's confusing. All right, a couple more things before we get to the weekly stock picks, which you have to stay and listen to, by the way. Number one, I put up a little quick blurb, I don't know if you saw it today, on thedisciplinedinvestor.com on why you need to listen to DH Unplugged. This is a short little thing.
Yes, I read it. It was quite good.
Yeah, a little something. San Francisco has issued subpoenas to Uber Technologies. and Lyft for a broad scope of records on driving and business practices, part of an investigation to determine whether the ride service companies have become a public nuisance. The city attorney said that he was seeking records to investigate whether Uber and Lyft failed to adequately serve poor neighborhoods and the disabled, and whether drivers create hazards on the road. Now, I don't know about what you think, but I'd like to translate this for you. So we just heard what the city attorney said. I think what he meant was, we need to be paid more to leave you alone. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's good. I think you're right. Yeah. It's probably exactly what he meant.
Yep. Thank you very much. If you just pay up a little bit, we will overlook it for another year until we come back to you when we need more money.
Sounds right.
Elon, speaking about cars and Uber, Elon Musk is stepping down from Trump's advisory board after the announcement of the U.S. leaving the Paris Accord. And I assume because one of the reasons may be that the concern is that this may hurt his government kickbacks on clean energy cars as well as solar. It's all about money.
If anybody would be bothered by this, it would be him.
Everything we talk about just goes right back to the beginning. Everything's about money.
It's about money. And the funny thing is about that, you'd think he'd want to stay on the advisory board to keep an eye on things.
Mm-hmm. But nope. He's making a statement. God damn it.
Well, this is serious. The statement is made. We got that part of it, but I think it's a mistake.
Yeah. Have you, I was introduced a few weeks back to this thing called the fidget spinner.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Now, Did you get one?
I didn't get one. Have you tried it? I mean, my son had one. He goes, check this out, Dad. I'm like, yeah, it's like one of those gyroscope things. Like when you know, one of those balls. I've had these before and they just, you know, he goes, yeah. A lot of people have it. It's just, you know, when you get fidgety, you do this and it calms you down. I'm like, really?
No, it doesn't.
I'm like, what does that mean?
Why would it calm you down?
I don't know. What do I know? This kind of thing, you know, if you're one of these people that you know how those people, their leg is constantly I'm doing it right now because I'm talking about it.
But restless leg syndrome. Yeah,
restless leg syndrome, or you're picking at yourself, or you got to play with your hair, or you're cracking your knuckles all the time, or I don't know. So this is going to stop you from all that. And it's, but the problem is going to be, I'm going to get so annoyed sitting near you that I'm going to get fidgety and probably get angry.
Yeah. This is a very weird fad. I don't know how long it's going to last or why it even evolved, but it did.
Have you seen some of the other gadgets? Like the fidget, is it called the fidget box? Fidget cube. The fidget cube. It's a Kickstarter program. They tried to raise like, I don't know, 20 grand. They raised like 6 million.
What?
I'm telling you. I think it's called a fidget cube. So it's a cube. So imagine a cube, right? In a little cube, a small little jobby here, right? On one side, it has like a little up and down button clicker thing. So you can just make it go up and down and up and down. It's like a kind of like a light bulb for a light. Then on the other side, it has like a bunch of buttons where you click, 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 click. Another one has like a wheel that you spin. The other one has like a thing that you rotate, you know, and it just sits in the palm of your hand. So it's, as they say on the Kickstarter, it's like, you know, most people won't even notice when you're holding it in your hand. It will help you and calm you down in like meetings when you just can't focus and all this. It's like, you know, it's a six, one, two, three, four, five. Yeah. Six sided and has different, all sorts of different little fidgety things on it to play with.
What are you, 5 years old?
I'm just telling you. They raised $6 million.
Well, good. More power to them.
Yeah. Now, on a very sad note, Peter Salas, the voice actor from Wallace and Gromit, has died at age 96.
He's the guy who did Wallace?
Yeah. Peter Salas is the voice.
Well, he didn't do Gromit because Gromit doesn't talk.
Well, there you go. That narrowed that down. He passed away at 96 years old.
Wow. Well, it lasted a long time. Yeah. That voice can be done by someone else. Mm. You know, I used to do a radio show and it had the guy that came on that we're talking about voice actors. And he was the voice of Tigger on the Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
And just as we started the thing and he did a bunch of voices and he did Tigger, sounds just like him. I said, wait a minute. Didn't Paul Winchell do Tigger? And he said, yeah, he says, after Paul died, I took the gig. And he showed me that he can pretty much copy anybody's very distinctive voice. Some of these guys can do that. And I guess I would assume that someone can do Wallace. It doesn't sound like it's that complex. But I was kind of surprised by people that had that much voice range, versatility. I can't even do Trump.
Did you, were you ever a fan of Rich Little?
Yeah, we went to see him in Vegas once, maybe twice. I may have seen him twice over the years, but we saw him on his downward slide.
Rich Little,
where
to me.
He comes out and he's plastered on stage.
Rich Little.
I mean, he is so drunk, he could barely do his voices. I always enjoyed the fact that he could do a lot of voices. I think Frank Caliendo is a guy that I think is very admirable for, because he does voices nobody else can do.
Danny Gans was the best. Did you see Danny Gans? Who? He died, unfortunately. I saw him twice in concert out in Vegas. The guy was unbelievable. The only problem I had with Rich Little is every voice sounded like Richard Nixon to me.
He did a great Nixon.
But every single voice had that same something going on with it.
Yeah, there was he has a tone in his voice that stepped on all his voices. You're right. And in fact, his Carson sounded like Nixon.
That's what I mean. Anyway, if you could find a video of Danny Gans, young guy, was brilliant, brilliant. He died in a plane accident, or I believe it was.
I've never heard him.
Really?
I mean, I know when he was playing. He was playing in Vegas a lot.
Yeah.
And I never went to see his act.
I saw him twice. He was great. I'm glad I saw him. That reminds me of a story about one time I was in camp, and and I'm having a hard time remembering the guy's name, which is just ridiculous. But anyway, I was in camp, and this guy came to sing and entertain for the camp for that afternoon. And my friends and I decided, we're not going to go to that. We're going to cut out of it, and we didn't go. And then that week, months later, when it was not too far away, we heard this poor, terrible story that this guy got killed in a car accident. We didn't know who it was at the time. We're thinking, wait a minute, don't we remember that guy's name? It was, I can't believe, Cats in the Cradle. Why can't I remember the guy's name?
I don't know.
Who was saying Cats in the Cradle?
Cats in the Cradle, was this, you talking about the singer?
Yeah, the folk singer guy, Cats in the Cradle. Cats in the Cradle.
Cats in the Cradle was done by a guy who's still alive, as far as I know.
No, definitely not. All right, somebody help me. Yeah, Harry Chapin. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, Chapin.
Yeah,
okay.
He was the one that played, and I missed him because I cut out, and he dies. He gets into a car accident and dies.
You should have gone see him. Maybe he wouldn't have died. It would have changed everything.
Oh, thanks. Now I'm feeling really good.
You should.
Yeah.
Your fault.
Last couple of things. June 8th coming up is the UK general election. Supposedly the polls, which nobody believes because we're told not to believe them anymore. Theresa May is losing her lead. And finally, we have to talk about this maybe next time. A Free Speech Institute on Tuesday sent a letter to President Donald Trump demanding that the prolific tweeter unblock certain units. So I guess they blocked users, but saying that that's not fair. It violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, I guess, because he's president. He can't block people.
He can block anybody he wants.
I'm just telling you what they said. And what are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
Another good question. It is about,
It's about time that you get this written down before the show.
Something like that. Let me take a look.
Yeah, it's about. It's about.
I know people think it's crazy that I have to do this.
I think it's pretty hysterical. We've been doing this for how many years?
Boom, 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 column. Oh, no, it's about, yeah. Yeah, I ran into there's an article that ran about HDR television and how these guys want to do streaming, and they think that maybe HDR, high dynamic range. So I wrote a whole essay on how high dynamic range is interesting, but it's not going to, they think they can talk people into being more into that than in 4K. It's not going to happen. Anyway, so it's kind of just a column discussing the current situation with OLED television sets, HDR television sets, HDR as a whole, 4K, what you should buy and what you should think about when you go out to buy a new TV set.
I gotcha. All right, well, let's get to the stocks. This is the game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. It is nothing more than a little fun thing that we do with some ideas that we come up with the reasons why, and a little education, a little bit of fun. You could track all of these on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock picks button. Just go over there and check it out. And of course, if you decide for whatever reason to utilize any of the things that we're talking about here, we are not responsible for your loss of money. Of course, we did get some great I got some tweets today. There's some people saying, you know what? We're donating because we made all this money on something you said. So I think that's
what did we say?
I don't know. There's something about Bitcoin or something, I think. And he bought it and he made a bunch of money on it and he's donating. Ooh, so
good for him.
I'm still waiting for the check to come in. Let me just say that. But you can find that all over there. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz, a company clients may own any of these names. We will duly note them in the disclosures. But you can check out the live ticking tote board, if you will, of how these stocks are doing over on dhunplugged.com.
Good looking list today. We got some new things that coming in. Insiders and Kinder Morgan, it went up a little bit. I would reiterate that one because there's still more buying going on, it looks like. You have, what's yours? You got this Straight Path Communications. I believe that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
23% up. You also have the risky gold one you bought, which is like a, I don't even know how that one works.
That's three times.
NUGT. That's way up 27%. You also have, I think Cara Therapeutics is yours. That's up 19. You're on a roll here.
Yeah,
the only thing I've got going on is you have the Trade Desk, which is up 48, which is past Barclays, which is hanging in there with 47% gain. Mine are all in the twos and fours. They're not worth discussing.
Well, I'll take that as a pat on the back.
It is.
Thank you.
And now you're about to blow it because you're going with the Bitcoin Bitcoin bet.
Yeah. Well, this is the one we talked about last week where the Bitcoin is this is the Bitcoin Investment Trust where it's trading at about $550 per share. Thinly traded, very hard to borrow. I'm trying to find a place to get a, as we call a borrow, to go short. Yeah. I called up two different places and I'm already getting some pushback on it. One place wanted to charge me 60%. On an annual basis to borrow this.
But on our game,
yeah,
all you have to do is put it on here, the word short, and there it is.
Yep, exactly. But we only do it for things that are short a bull. This is short a bull.
It is short a bull. Yeah. Yes, it's true. It's short a bull, but it's like it has to be a huge challenge to actually short it.
Yeah, I'm going to make some more calls tomorrow and see if I can get it because I'd like to get some of this myself as well. I'm not sure we're going to do this for clients right now until it really gets crazy, crazy, but we'll see. We have to, again, it's very hard to get.
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, so
but I've said that all along with the Bitcoin, and I would have been a rich guy if I had bought it early.
We have 0.0001 something Bitcoins.
Yeah. That's it. I have nothing for this week. I looked and looked and I didn't find anything that was appealing.
We're going to put a 15%. I was thinking about going 20%, but we're going to put a 15% stop on the Bitcoin Investment Trust. GBTC is the symbol. So that should either do really well over a few days or just get totally stopped out immediately.
Right. Yes, probably.
We'll see what happens with that. Let's see, what else did we have to talk about? We talked about No Agenda, of course. We talked last week about the Podcaster Pro, which is, did you talk to Adam about that, about the Signature Series?
No, I forgot to. We'll probably talk about it on the next show.
Yeah, he's got that great thing going on in the Indiegogo program. I guess it's doing very well from what I can see. He's getting a lot of nice write-ups. There's a lot of momentum going on with that thing to utilize as a recording device, podcasting device, audio input output type of deal, which is very easy to use, crisp with all sorts of really good things. The Podcaster Pro. Let's see here. We talked about that. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, I don't really have anything to plug. I'm working on a couple of things, but there's nothing to plug. It's unplugless.
Plugless. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk again then. I guess we'll talk again next week, right?
Yeah, next Tuesday. Looks good.
All right. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.